Hey, good afternoon, everybody. I want to begin. The title of the shiur today is Mordechai HaTzadik, Hero or Villain. Now, I have to tell you that I actually felt a little uncomfortable with the title. As a matter of fact, for that reason, I had to add in the word HaTzadik, because the truth is that it's a foregone conclusion as far as I'm concerned that he was a hero. Obviously, we have a nice Purim because of that. We understand it was underlying Semitism. But I think if you look at the whole picture and look at the Megillah itself, sort of try to understand the simple reading of the verse, of the words, we have to understand what Mordechai was trying to accomplish. I would just add before I begin, with some of my students where I teach in the morning, so they have to write a report trying to find the theological dilemma in certain of the Sifrei Tanakh. One of the choices is the Megillas Esther. So some of the topics I came up with was, if you look at the simple reading of Sukkim, it doesn't look like the Jews did anything wrong. It seemed like anti-Semitism just sprouted out from nowhere. And to deal with the whole idea of why there's anti-Semitism in the world, or to deal like how come the Jews were suffering, they didn't do anything, or Esther's dilemma, what are they doing in the palace? And I was speaking to somebody else, a colleague of mine, who said to me, this Israeli, he said to me, no, the dilemma is very simple. Mordechai HaTzadik was the Gadol Hador, and he said, don't go to the party, and they didn't listen. So the dilemma is listening to Das Torah, listening to Chachamim, which if you understand Nurn Gemara, he's correct. But if you look at the Pesukim itself and try to understand what the Pesukim are trying to tell us in the story of the Megillah itself, so sometimes there are different messages that we're supposed to receive. And it's very important to take notice of Chazal, but also there's a certain story in the Megillah, which when the Anshei Knesset HaGdolah wrote the Megillah and they approved of the Megillah, there's obviously a message there. So what I'd like to do today is to look at the Megillah itself, mostly the simple reading, and try to understand what was Mordechai's motive for not bowing down. For not bowing down to Haman. Now, just to begin with the title, when I ask, is Mordechai HaTzadik or hero or villain? So, I don't think it's such a bad title, because the Gemara itself, in Maseches Megillah, makes reference to such a question that the Jews at that time had. If you look at source number two and three, for 1 minute before we start the Pesukim, so that the Gemara in Maseches Megillah is discussing which part of the Megillah is really important. Because the truth is, if you think about the story of Purim, so you can always ask yourself, like, at what point did the whole story, what's really the important part of the story? Do we start from Esther coming to the palace, which is extremely important, because obviously Esther was the main character in the story. She is the heroine. She saved Am Yisrael. Do we start with Haman's ascent to power? Do we talk about the salvation? But we certainly can ask ourselves, what is the first parak doing there? And many of us spoken about it. The first parak seems to be so irrelevant to the story of Purim. Achashverosh got rid of his wife. He looked for a new wife, and Esther came. Okay, so the Gemara Maseches Megillah discusses what's the most important part of the Megillah, and is a whole discussion, four different shittos I'm not going to get into. However, one of the pesukim they bring down is to go ahead and we'll see in source number six the idea of what's really important. However, if you look at source number two and number three, so the Gemara is explaining there the idea of Ma'omru al-Kocha. So Rava Amar, what's important in Megillah? What happened? What really happened in Megillah? So one interpretation says, you know, Mordechai, he was so special. Rava Amar li'idach gisa. So what happened was, as we say, that Mordechai is referred to, Ish Yehudi Hayav Ashush Nabir, or Shmur Mordechai Ben Yair Ben Kish V'Ish Yemini. So there's a Yehudi, and he was a Yemini, which seems to imply that he came from Sheva Yehuda, and he also came from Sheva Binyamin. So Gemara asked the question, well, it's either or. Either it came from the tribe of Judah, or it came from the tribe of Benjamin, tribe of Binyamin. Which one is it? So, one shot in the Gemara is very simply that the Gemara says that every Shevet claimed Mordechai to be his. They were so proud of him. Rava says, number two, Rava Amar, Knes Yisrael Amroch Li'ida Gisa. He says, Knes Yisrael had a different approach. They were actually critical at some point of Mordechai. He says, Ru'u ma'asu li Yehuda. Look what Yehudi did to us. U'mashilam li'yamini, and how someone from Binyamin paid us. Ma'asu li Yehudi. So what was their complaint against? So in source number three, their complaint was against David HaMelech. That David did not kill Shimi. Shimi ben Gera, who went ahead and he cursed David HaMelech, and therefore he was chayiv misa because he was morid b'malchus, the way he treated the king. So he says, and because of Shimi, because David had not killed Shimi, Shimi was able to live a normal life, and from Shimi came Mordechai, and Mordechai caused us so much trouble. The Mikni Bei Haman, Mordechai, by not bowing down to the Pesel, to Haman, got Haman angry. So from that we see that the Am Yisrael had a very hard time with Mordechai. So when I speak about Mordechai Tzadik being a hero villain, obviously in the end Mordechai was definitely a hero. But certainly as the process is going on, it seems from the Gemara that certain members of Jewish people were quite upset, and they actually blamed David HaMelech. If David HaMelech had done what he was supposed to, and he would have killed Shimi when Shimi he was Mekal him, cursed him. We never read Mordechai. So he says, and then the Gemara goes on to try to explain about Binyamin and Yehuda in another respect. So this title is really not so far off. It certainly was. According to Gemara, there are certainly certain Jews who at a time certainly felt that Mordechai at Tzadik did not do the Jews a favor. So let's look at the whole story and see what happened. So we look at source number one. Achara Dvar Me'ela, after these words, Gidal HaPerek Gimel Pasuk Aleph, Gidal HaMelech HaShveirosh is Haman B'Ram Dasa, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Rei, sorry, HaShveirosh raised Haman B'Ram Dasa, Hagogi, Fragogi, Vayinasehu, we lifted him up, Vayasim is Kisim Yalkol Asar Masharito, and he basically raised his seat from all the officers that were with him. Vachol Abde Melech Shir B'Shar Melech, and all the servants of the king that were the king, Karim Mishtachim Lavan, they were Koreo Mishtachave, Kichain Sivol HaMelech, because according to most Mephorshim, that's what the king commanded about Haman. U Mordechai lo yichravu yishtachaveh, and Mordechai did not go ahead and bow down to Haman. Says Vayomru Avde Amelech Ashir B'Shar Melech Mordechai. So the servants of the king that were in the gate of the king said to Mordechai, Madu ata overes mitzvas Amelech? Why are you going against the command of the king? Vayhi Kamram Elav Yom Vayom. Every day they would go to Mordechai. They were very bothered by this fact that Mordechai didn't bow down. V'lo Shama Leihem. He says he didn't listen to them. Vayagidu LaHaman LeRos. So they finally told Haman because they wanted to see if Mordechai really was serious about it. Hayamdu Divrei Mordechai. If Mordechai Mordechai's word would stand, would he be consistent, would he continue not to bow down? And here we have the only clue as to why Mordechai didn't bow down. Ki higid lahem, because Mordechai told them, Ashir hu Yehudi, that he's a Yehudi. So the first interpretation, which is probably the most famous of all the interpretations, the first interpretation is what Rashi mentions, Chazal mentions, source number four, Rashi says, Karam Mishtachavim, Sha'atsa Atzma Elohai, he made himself into a god, and therefore Mordechai did not bow down to Haman. And even though we certainly find that people definitely bow down to kings, it was done, it's mentioned in Tanakh. However, this expression, Karm Mishtachavim, is not found. Karm Mishtachavim implies something more than just honor. And even Ezra mentions not that Haman made himself into Avodah Zarah. Even Ezra says, the other Pshat, Yitach Yidun V'Nachon, Mashar Darsha Razal, Kitsuras Haman, that Haman had a Surah of Avodah Zarah around on his clothes or on Mitznefes, on his hat, and that's why Mordechai basically did not bow down to Haman. And we see that this pshat is mentioned in the Chazal. So coming back to the Gemara that I first mentioned, the Gemara says in Masechet Megillah, source number 6, Daf Yud Tes Taman Aleph, Meheichan Korin Adam Es Megillah. From what point do you have to read the Megillah and to be Yotz in the Megillah? So Meir says you have to read the whole Megillah. That's how we paskin. Rabbi Yehuda Omer Meish Yehudi, Rabbi Yossi Omer Meachar Advar Me'ela. So the Gemara asks in Daf Yud Tes Taman Aleph, why do we go ahead and why do we read? Why do we go ahead and why do we read a whole Megillah? How do we explain the Machlokes? So I don't have to go for necessarily all the opinions, but if you look at Rav Huna Amar, it's in the middle of paragraph number 6, Makor number 6, Rav Huna Amar Mehacha. Because the Pasuk says in the Megillah, Umaro al Kacho Ma'agia Lehem. The whole story, what did they see about this and what came to them? Manda Amar Arkula, so they have to write the Megillah, Maro Akacho, what happened to the Jewish people. So Manda Amar Arkula says, why did Achashverosh go ahead and use the clay Beit HaMikdash at the party? And why? Because he thought the Jews would never be redeemed. He made an account, thought Jews never be redeemed. He says, and what happened? Because he killed Vashti. Umanda Amar Meish Yehudi. He says, Chazal say, Ma Ra Mordechai Dikne Bihaman. The same idea I mentioned that the Jews were actually upset at Mordechai at that time. What did Mordechai see? Why did he find it necessary to make Haman upset? Why wasn't he flexible? Flexibility is a very important midah. Okay, so don't bow down. Don't bow down. What's the big deal? So what's the answer? She says, "Deshabye nafshe avodah zarah." She come and made himself an avodah zarah into an idol. Umagiyaleyam, and because Mordechai stood up to Haman, did not bow down to Haman. What happened was the Yisrachesh Nisa miracle happened. So therefore, the reason, according to the opinion that says we have to read from Ish Yehudi, is because what's the important part of the story? Number one, why is it that Mordechai did not bow down? And why did he get Haman angry? He saw, what's the reason? Because Haman is on the Avodah Zarah, and because of that, a whole miracle happened. Now, so the Marsha says, so where do we see in the Megillah that this is the reason why Mordechai did not bow down? So Marsha says in source number 7, he says because he was called, quotes the Gemara, he was called an Ish Yehudi. Ish Yehudi Hoya B'Shushan Avira. What defined him as a Jew? What defined him as a Jew according to the Marsha, according to Chazal, is anyone who is kofer of Avodah Zarah, he is a Jew. So it says, Ish Yehudi Hoya B'Shushan Avira. Mordechai was kofer, denied the whole idea of idolatry, and for that reason he was called a Jew, and this is the whole reason the Purim story happened, because he didn't want to bow down to Avodah Zarah. Now, we have to ask ourselves a question. Is that really an issue? Okay, because let's assume for a second, B'chol Avdei HaMelech, everyone else in the courtyard of the king bowed down, were the other Jews. We don't know. Maybe there were other Jews. Maybe there weren't other Jews. You know, I remember if you go ahead and you know, Baruch Hashem, I raised a fine family, so over the years I've read many different comics of Purim. It's very popular. So you read the comics. Some comics actually take into Maamari Chazal, and some don't. So some of the comics, you find that everybody's bowing down to Haman. The truth is, according to the various verses, it's only the Avdei HaMelech who were in the Shara Melech, those in the royal area, the royal palace, bow down to Haman. However, let's say there were Jews that bowed down. How come they were different than Mordechai? But maybe there weren't any other Jews there. But was Mordechai correct in not bowing down to Haman? So let's look at the Gemara with Justice Halacha about bowing down to Avodah Zarah. So if you look at source number 8, this is the Gemara in the Seches Sanhedrin Da Samach Aleph Haman Beis. So the Gemara says like this. Gemara says, let's say Imar, it was said in the Beis Medrash, Ha'oved Avodah Zarah Me'avo Me'yira. Let's say someone wants to worship idols, not because he believes in the idols, not because the idols are necessarily beautiful. No, that's not why he's bowing down to the idol. I'm going to take the accepted pshat amongst the Rishonim, which the Miri mentioned in source number 10, that someone worked hard on this idol, or you're afraid of the person. Like in our case with Haman. In other words, that the Melech says, if you don't bow down to this idol, I'm going to kill you. So if someone goes ahead and bows down, not because he believes in the idol. He's just bowing down to the idol because he's afraid of somebody. He might be killed. He might be hurt. That's the question which the Gemara asks. So Abaye says, a person who bows down to the idol under any circumstances, according to Abaye, such a person is over the Isser of Avodah Zarah, violated, bowing down to idolatry. And Rava Amar says, Pater. I believe we passing like Rava. You're Pater. So Abaye says, why are you obligated? The Gemara tells us, because you bowed down to Avodah Zarah. It looks like you served Avodah Zarah. Rava Amar, no. Why am I not? Why should I be chayiv? After all I did was I did some kind of act, but it doesn't mean anything. It's a silly act. I just bowed down. So therefore, why in the world would I be chayiv? I didn't worship Avodah Zarah. Avodah Zarah means you actually feel that you're doing something. So so Abaye says, I'm correct. And what's the proof that Abaye feels that he's correct? That if you go ahead and you bow down, to a Avodah Zarah, an idol, even if you don't believe in it, you're still over this or Avodah Zarah. So he quotes the Maimer Chazal of Raisa, Lo Tishtachave Lehem. You're not allowed to bow down to idols. So Lehem Yetam Ishtachave, you're allowed to bow down. You can't bow down to idols. Avalatam Ishtachave Le'odam Kamoscha. But you're certainly allowed to bow down to a person. As I mentioned before, beginning of this year, you're allowed to bow down to the king. Yochol afilu nevat kehaman. Are you allowed to bow down to somebody who's worshipped like Haman was? Taman lom velosa avde. So he says, so the Medrash Chazal says, the Brisa says you can't bow down to Haman. Haman's an example of someone you can't bow down to. And when people bow down to Haman, that was out of fear. But the Brisa says explicitly, even to Haman, you'd be over this or Avodah Zarah if you bow down to. So that's the proof that Abaye brings. So Rava says, no, there's two ways to look at this. Rava says, Ki Haman, the Lo Haman. He says, now what does that mean? He says that what it means is that I'm allowed to bow down to a king. Okay? I can't bow down to a human being that makes himself out to be a god. Okay? He says, but when, like Haman made himself out to be. But it's only usher if I do it out of real devotion. In other words, Haman is the example of what's forbidden. On one level, a type of human being that makes himself to be a god like Haman, but surely in a situation where I actually believe that he is somewhat of a god. Now, when we talk about, by the way, human beings being a god, it doesn't mean that they're the only god. Obviously, it could be they might be an intermediary, something like that. But the Haman, according to Rava, is used as an example not of what's usher, according to Rava, but an Avodah Zarah, which would be usher if he did it out of devotion. Okay, so Rava certainly holds that Mordechai would not have been over in Israel of Avodah Zarah if he had bowed down to Haman. So why did he bow down? So Tosfos asked that question, and Tosfos says in source number 9, so if that's the case, how come Mordechai didn't bow down? He should have asked the Shaila, his local Orthodox rabbi. The rabbi would have said to him, hey, what are you causing trouble for? You know, you should go ahead and bow down. Why are you going to cause all the Druze trouble? You never know what's going to happen. Haman might get angry at you, and then you know Haman. Haman is, he has a very big ego. He might not be satisfied going after just you. He might go after all Klal Yisrael. So you don't want to be flexible? According to the Psach, Halacha, it's mutter to bow down. So Tosfos asks Akasha. So Tosfos says, the it could be that maybe because he had an idol, all right, or he goes at the end and he says like this. He says, so since there was an idol on his heart, so it might be an issue of marasayin. And the second halacha is, he says like this, that because there is halacha of something called of kiddush Hashem. In other words, what does that mean? he says that Kiddush Hashem, even if something is not Asur, but if it appears like you're doing an Aveira Avodah Zarah, then you have to give your life to Kiddush Hashem also. In other words, there's sometimes when people will perceive that you're going to go ahead and you're going to know that you're not doing an Aveira, but if you go ahead and you're going to you're going to do something which is preceded in Aveira Avodah Zarah, that's Kiddush Hashem. So according to Tosfos, the reason why Mordechai did this was because of Kiddush Hashem, he had to make Kiddush Hashem Shemayim. And according to Tosfos, it could be that was an obligation. In other words, it's not Avodah Zarah, but a Jew has to make Kiddush Hashem Shemayim. And it brings an example from the Yerushalmi. The Miri says the same thing, and he says actually, the Miri says at the end, in source of number 10, that Mordechai was not obligated to refrain from bowing down, because it wasn't Avodah Zarah coined to Rava. However, a person could be Mekadesh Shem Shemayim. See, even though he was Mekadesh Shem Shemayim, maybe it wasn't an absolute obligation. That is what the Miri says. So far we have, according to Chazal, the reason why Mordechai did not bow down to Haman was because it looked like Avodah Zarah, like idolatry. And therefore, certainly he was Mekadesh Shem Shemayim. And because it's Kiddush Shem Shemayim, what happened? The Jews were all about to be executed. And then a miracle happened. So now, was he obligated to, not obligated to? It seems that might be a machlokas in the Miri and other Rishonim, but it was a Kiddush Hashem. What do we learn from that? So if you look at source number 11, which implies something similar, Gemara goes like the Gemara said, Maseches Megillah. Sholu Talmidav es Rav Shimon ben Yochai. The student of Shimon ben Yochai asked Shimon ben Yochai a question. Why was it the Jews of that generation were supposed to be killed? What did they do wrong? As I said, from the Megillah, there's really nothing that tells us, we don't know, and it seems like pure, simple anti-Semitism, which, by the way, the Haman is referred to as Tzorer Yudim, but there had to be a reason. So Shimon bar Yochai said to them, Amru Lahem, you tell me what you think. You speculate. So they said to him, because they benefited from the suda of that wicked person. In other words, what does that mean? At the end of the big feast of Ahasuerus, it was a 7-day feast in Shushan, and Mordechai and the Jews went to the feast, and they shouldn't have gone to the feast, and for that reason they were chayav misa. So Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai said to them, that's a very nice shot, but only the Jews in Shushan went. And the decree to kill the Jews was all over the territory of Ahasuerus, which we know stretched from India to Ethiopia. What did all those Jews do wrong? So what happened? So then the Gemara says, see, so Shimon bar Yochai, so Amru, he says, so they said to Shimon bar Yochai, okay, you don't like our answer, you give us an answer. So he says, Amru lehem b'nei shishtachavu litzelem. They bow down to the idol. Which idol did they bow down to? Because in the days of Nebuchadnezzar, they bowed down to Nebuchadnezzar, everyone must have bowed down to an idol, and all the Jews bowed down to the idol, except for Hanani, Mishael, and Azariah. They didn't bow down to the idol. So then they said, okay, so by the way, which is actually fascinating, because the whole story of Purim happened years and years after they bow down to the idol. Okay, we'll come back to that. So then he says, Amalos, the student says, V'chi masu panam yesh bedavar? As HaKadosh Baruch Hu showing favoritism? Is God showing favoritism? If the reason there was a decree was because the Jewish people bowed down to the idol, so God should have gone through with the decree. They should have all been destroyed. So he says, Amar lehem, he said to them, Heim lo aso lifnim. They didn't really mean it. When the Jews bowed down to the idol, they didn't really believe in the Avodah Zarah. They did it because they were afraid. They didn't feel a need to Mekadesh Shem Shemayim. In other words, they didn't really put enough significance into their actions. So therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu also didn't mean to kill them. Just wanted to give them a little scare. It wasn't his intention. So what does that mean? That means is that maybe the Aveira of the Jews at that time, that they were different, very different than Mordechai. Mordechai felt it's very important not only to be a Jew, but to act like a Jew. And all your actions should show that you're a Jew. So in Ahasuerus' court, that came out as saying, I am not bowing down to this idol because I am a Jew. And Jews don't bow down to idols. And even though it might have been within the halacha, because according to Rava, he didn't mean it, but a Jew is not only has to show that it only has to act like a Jew, he has to show that he's a Jew. And in those days, and therefore when the Jews bow down to the idol about Nebuchadnezzar, so they didn't do an Aveira. Because deep inside, according to Rava, they knew that they were. They were just doing because that was the law. But the fact is that they had to realize that, to understand the pain, that you have to show that you're a Jew. It's not just to be a Jew inside. You have to show that you're a Jew. Mordechai understood that. And it could be that when the Nes HaPurim happened and they saw what Mordechai did and they saw they're about to be killed and they took a lesson, Mordechai, that it's important to act like a Jew. As a matter of fact, in the Megillah, it's not on the Daf Mekorot, but we'll see in the Megillah. I'm sorry, it is on the Daf Mekorot, source number 19. I'm going to mention it a few times. So it says Periches Pasuk Yudzayin Uvechol Medino Medino Uvechol Ir VeIr Makom Shedvar Melech Daso Magia. In every place where the word of the king reached, when they heard about the Yeshua that Haman was killed and Mordechai is now in charge, Sasun Simchal Yehudim Mishta VeYontif. So it sounds like, by the way, that there were certain places in the far ends of the kingdom where the decree of the king did not reach. Okay, it seems that way. But the places where the decree of the king reached, the joyful decree, the Jews could protect themselves. So, Simcha Sosnal Yehudim, Mishav Yontif, V'Ravim Me'ame Aretz Misyahadim. And many people from Me'ame Aretz Misyahadim. So the way it's properly interpreted is, they became Jewish. There were many non-Jews that wanted to become Jewish. A lot of them weren't allowed because you're not allowed to convert shelo lishma for not the right reasons. And some of them would actually act like they were Jewish. And that's one of the reasons given why people masquerade on Purim, because just like some non-Jews masqueraded as Jews, so we go and we masquerade also. However, even Ezra, Rabbeinu Bachaya says, no, it's not what it means. It says, what does it mean? V'rabim me'ame aretz misyadim. Rabbeinu Bachaya in Varma says, the Rabbim is referring to Yisrael. Many of the Jews were misyahed. What does misyahed mean? That they acted like Jews. They were proud to be Jews. They learned from the story of Purim. It's not just enough to be a Jew inside. We have to act like Jews. They learned. They understood what happened. They understood why the Yeshua came through Mordechai. Even though it was Mordechai which was the impetus that caused the challenge to happen, that caused the paronis, the great punishment might have come because of Mordechai, but they saw the salvation through Mordechai and they realized it's very important to act like a Jew. That's the salvation of Purim. With Mordechai, in Mordechai's case, it came out like not worshiping Avodah Zarah, not bowing down to Avodah Zarah. But the lesson of Purim is certainly that we have to act like a Jew. That's the first interpretation you can give. All right. If we go to source number 12. So in source number 12, the Al-Sheikh says, what's the reason why Mordechai did not want to bow down to Haman? So he says, source number 12, the Al-Sheikh said, Shelo yandu dvarav. Alright? So in other words, what did Mordechai say? He's a Yehudi. They wanted to see, he says, they wanted to see, if his words would stand. So then while the Al-Sheikh explains it, they said to him, he says, why aren't you bowing down to Haman? He says, you're a Jew. And look at his words. Shelo yamdu devarav ki higid lehem asher Yehudi shehu meyam bozoi v'shosui v'abodim mashlubam. They said to Mordechai, how could you not bow down to Haman? You come from the Jew, a lowly nation. And by the way, the Jewish people, when they were in Gaulis, you should know, in exile, were definitely looked upon as a lowly nation. I just want to digress for 1 second. A story I've mentioned in the past that made a very big impression upon me. So, many years ago, the year that Moshe Feinstein was nifter, right around now, and shortly afterwards, his Talmud of Nissen Alpert also, but he was very sick that year. And I had gone with my father to New York for a symposium about Rav Kook. Okay, Rabbi Chalav spoke, my father spoke, I think Rav Tait spoke, and then
Rav Alpert, Nissim Alpert, who was the Rav of Agudas Yisrael, he gave a shiur on one of the tshuvas of Rav Kook. If I remember correctly, I didn't really understand at that point the significance of what he spoke about, but he spoke about, I think, if I remember correctly, Rav Kook's tshuva on Heter Mechira. If I remember correctly, and he was talking about, like, it's unbelievable the Bekiyas you go ahead and you see in Rav Kook. All right, and then at the end he says, after he finished the shiur, he said, listen, he says, I want to go ahead and I want to say one thing. He says, I'm a Rav of Agudas Yisrael. And people were criticizing me how I could speak at symposium of Rav Kook, because you know people like to identify Rav Kook with Zionism, and they like to identify, this is what he said, a good of anti-Zionism, so really it's not appropriate for me to speak here. So I want to tell you one thing, and he didn't speak of Rav Kook, he spoke about Zionism. He mentioned the Gemara of Rav Yochanan. Rav Yochanan was the last Ish Shufer, the last beautiful person in Yerushalayim. See, he said, that's very difficult to understand because Rabbi Yochanan and I had, I guess, eyelashes that were very long. I had to hold them up. So again, we're not someone to define what it means to be handsome, what it means to be beautiful. But you know, having to hold up your eyelashes doesn't make you a beautiful person. What he says is that Rabbi Yochanan symbolized the last beautiful person of Yerushalayim. Why? Because he says, you know, the Jew was known as the hunchback Jew. He says, why? Because we didn't have a land. We didn't have a land. So therefore we walk around, so many problems. Rabbi Yochanan really symbolized the last time the Jews were living in Eretz Yisrael. There was a strong Yishuv. After Rabbi Yochanan passed away, of course there were always Jews living in the land of Israel, but there was not a strong settlement of Jews. So he says, Rabbi Yochanan was the last Ishufra. He was the last beautiful person of Yerushalayim. It meant that after his generation, the idea of the hunchback Jew, doesn't mean Rabbi Yochanan, it means the Jew himself. They felt like they didn't have a homeland. That's when the Jew became lowly and harassed. And he said, listen, whatever you want to say about Zionism, one thing for sure, now that we have Medinas Yisrael, he says, we can all walk our back straight because Jews know they can live in Eretz Yisrael and there's a strong settlement. So at that time though, when the whole story happened with Haman and Mordechai, the Jews were in Golos and exiled. So the servant of the king said to the king, how is it that you go ahead and the servants of the king said to Mordechai, how is it that you don't bow down to Haman? You come from a mam bazui v'shasui, the Al-Sheikh says, a lowly nation, and Haman, Hema, Sarim, Gedolim, great people. See, he says, so Mordechai says, no, you're mistaken. I'm a Jew. And his words are, and he says, and therefore a Jew is more chashuv than any of them. And I am not going, I'm not going to bow down. And if you look at source number 13, and the Yalkut Shimoni says, Dover Acher, the same idea. Amar Mordechai, he says, Ani einu yachal lahachnif l'rasha. I can't do chanifa, I can't flatter that Russia. Why can't I flatter that Russia? He says very simply, I can't flatter that Russia. Because, he says, Ani ton signon shel melech. I have upon me the style of the king. Everyone sees me. I represent the king, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And I'm from Shev Binyamin. Yedid Hashem, Yishkon Levet HaKolov. HaKadosh Baruch Hu rests upon me. I can't bow down to him. What? The Shekhin is upon me. I'm going to bow down to Haman? He's saying, I'm more chashuv. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is with me. So therefore, what really happened here was going on, that this was a source. He was saying the reason why he didn't bow down was not because he needed to act like a Jew, but he needed to be proud like a Jew. That's the bottom line. And a Jew has to know wherever they are, they have to go ahead and they have to be proud that they are Jewish. No, wherever we are, wherever we go, we have to be proud that we are Jewish. And you should know that sometimes it pains me that sometimes we have to go to certain places and we're afraid to show that we're a Jew. Sometimes they say, you go to Europe, don't walk around with a kippah, because you should wear a hat, baseball cap. Why? Because you have to go ahead and you have to be proud that you're a Jew. I was in Vienna a year and a half ago. They said to me, my son said to me, you have to wear a baseball cap. Okay, so I wore a baseball cap. So on Shabbos, I said to him, I can't wear a baseball cap on Shabbos. Like, that's such a thing. Okay, I wore a baseball cap on Shabbos. But it hurt me because we had, and obviously, if you're walking around certain places, you know, Nazi Germany, so you have to be very careful. But a Jew has to be proud to be a Jew. And that's, and that that is, that was one of the ideas that happened. And what happened is that while the Nes HaPurim was going on, from Perek Gimel, Perek Dalet, Perek Hay, until Perek Vav, chapter 6, when Mordechai Tzadik was being led on the horse by Haman, not the power, but the glory of the Jew was down to the floor. And then once Haman HaTzadik had to lead Mordechai, that was a salvation in itself. Even though the salvation did not come, as we see that after the parade, Mordechai went back to his sackcloth because the salvation did not come. Anything could change. But Mordechai HaTzadik reveled, was so happy when he was riding on the horse being led by Haman. If you go and you look, see source number 14, Perek Vav, chapter 6, verse 10. Vayomer Melech Haman. Because Achashverosh asked Haman, what should you do with the person the king wants? They honor. So he says, my hair, kachas, levush, vazasus, take everything and do this to Mordechai Yehudi, Hayeshev Yishar HaMelech. Al tabel davar mikol asher dibarta. Yes, Mordechai was proud to be a Jew. And Haman went and he put it on Mordechai. And he rode Mordechai through the city and he said, Kochi yaseh l'ish asher melech havetz bikara. And what happened? Vayashav Mordechai al Shar HaMelech. He says, Mordechai went back to the Shar HaMelech. V'hamen nidchav al beiso eva v'chafoi rosh. So if you go ahead and you look, source number 15, so we know the story. Haman comes home to Vashti, tells him about the parade, and Vashti says, okay, you're in big trouble. Why are you in big trouble? Because once this nation starts to rise, they're going for the stars. And it says, Kinafal Tibul Lafanav, you're going to fall before him. The Gemara says, Daf Tez Zayin Amar Aleph, Dar Shuda Bar Eloi, why is he Nafal Tibul? He says, the bottom line is, because telling you that when this nation starts to fall, they go down to the dirt. And when they start to rise, they go to the Kochavim. In other words, at that point, until the parade, Mordechai had fallen to the dirt. The Jewish pride had fallen to the dirt. And Mordechai sort of brought that about, but he was saying, no, we have to be proud to be a Jew. And look in source number 16, it's fascinating. So what happened? So Kaven Derochiv, it's a medrash in Esther Rabbah. Once he was riding on the horse, Hischil Mordechai, Mekal HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he started praising HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Aramimcha Hashem ki lesani v'losi machti v'li, he says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is lifting me up, and my enemies will not be happy over me. Hashem these psukim, he says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu lifted me up, and his talmidim started singing, and he says, and what did the Rashi say? The Rashi thought that he never would be moved, and the Medrash Chazal explains this whole perek about what was going on, what were the followers of Mordechai Tzadik thinking. But I find fascinating, look at source number 17. After going ahead and after celebrating and rejoicing that he was in this parade, source number 17, Vayashav Mordechai. Mordechai goes back to his sackcloth and ashes. He says, why? The salvation happened. The salvation didn't happen yet. He's still to daven, he's still to pray, he's still to fast. But a partial salvation happened because now the Jewish pride has been picked up. The Jewish glory has been picked up. And this is what Mordechai, he says, this is what Mordechai HaTzadik wanted. He actually went back to the Shar HaMelech. So the Alshech says, how could he go back to the gate of the king? After all, he's wearing a sackcloth. See, he wore the sackcloth underneath his clothes, not on top of his clothes. That's what the Alshech points out. But why was he happy? After all, he went back to sackcloth because there was a partial salvation. And from, we learn from the Nes HaPurim that we have to be proud of our Jewishness. And that's a second shot. And Baravim Me'ami Aretz Misyadim, that what happened? That the Jewish people at that point were able to go ahead and they were able to say, the Jewish people at that point says, we are proud to be a Jew. That was something that Mordechai was able to convince them of. That's one of the ideas that come out of Purim. We have to be proud to be a Jew. There's a fascinating Sefer Hasidim, source number 22. Yisrael Shoshomea Sh'om Lav Shugoi. If a Jew hears that a non-Jew is speaking about him, and he says, this is a goy. Tzorach Lomer, he has to scream out Yehudi on me. I am a Jew. It's very important people know that we are Jewish. And is actually fascinating. That's to come out of the Nesa Purim, because we know that Esther was actually told not to do that. Besides Esther, everyone else was an exception. I heard a story that during Tarpat, that during the Hebron riots, so, you know, the Arabs were out to kill any Jew. So you would have a Jew and he would hide. And one time they saw, now by the way, even though the Arabs were murdering and massacring Jews, some of the Arabs were afraid also because they were crazy. So they could kill an Arab too. So there was a certain Jew hiding in a tree. And I guess he had a dark complexion. And two Arabs saw him. And one Arab thought he was a Jew, which he was. And he was about to go ahead, and he was about to kill him. No, don't worry, he's one of us. And the Jew in the tree said to be referred to as an Arab, or not to be referred to as a Jew, that was too much for him. He says, no, I'm the Yehudi. They killed him. Okay, but a Jew has to always say, I am a Jew, to Sefer Chassin, and be proud. A Jew has to be proud to be a Jew. He says, and by the way, you think, you know, Baruch Hashem, we live in Eretz Yisrael, but if you speak to people who are, especially youngsters who go to America and they're going to be in university, depending which university they go to, I'm not talking about, obviously, Yeshiva University or NYU or Columbia or Queens, but certain universities, they're embarrassed to be a Jew. A Jew cannot be embarrassed to be Jewish. He has to be proud to be Jewish. And the Sefer Hasidim says, a Jew has to say he's a Jew. How do we know? From Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu wanted to be buried in Eretz Yisrael. And what happened? See, he says, Yikonsu atzmosai ba'aretz. Hoyel v'loch zechisi. He says, Likanes. Okay, I can't go to Israel alive. At least let my bones go into Eretz Yisrael. Let me be buried in Eretz Yisrael, like Yosef. So Kadosh Baruch Hu said no. He says, Yosef HaTzadik, who was Moda to Eretz Yisrael, because he says, Ki ganov gunafti me'eretz ha'ivrim, I was stolen from Eretz ha'ivrim, zochu atzimosav likavar baretz. So he was zochu to Eretz Yisrael. But you, when you heard them describe you as Nish Mitzri, you didn't say anything. Therefore, you can't go ahead and you can't be buried in Eretz Yisrael. Okay? Hard to understand what exactly is going on here. But two points are important. Number one, we have to be proud to say we're a Jew. Okay? And Megillas Esther took place in Golis. It's actually a holiday which took place and happened in the exile. And the story is, Misyahadim, we have to be proud like Mordechai, that we are a Jew. We have to be proud that we are a Jew. And also fascinating is that just saying I'm a Jew from this Sefer Chassidim is not enough. But a person has to always feel to be a Jew is defined as saying I am connected to Eretz Yisrael. Because Moshe Rabbeinu said Ish Mitzri and Yosef said Kigun of Ganafti Me'eretz Ivrim. So being a Jew is defined as being connected to Eretz Yisrael, and even a Jew who's living in a ghetto in Europe can be connected to Eretz Yisrael, he has the right thoughts. But that's another message of Purim. So to be proud to be a Jew. A third. I want to mention two more pshatim. The third pshat is when Haman of Russia. This is a very famous source 23, it's the Alfred Shimoni. When Haman Rasha came out of the first party of Esther, and he saw Mordechai, and Mordechai didn't bow, he was very upset. He goes home, and Haman goes and tells his family everything he has, his wonderful family, his money, his power. He says, and nothing is worth anything to me when I see Mordechai, not Mordechai at Tzadik. So the question, nothing's worth anything to you. You're a wealthy man, you have a big family, you're a powerful man. So simply, we could say, Haman was an egotist. So one little thing really bothered him. Okay, but the Medrash tells us something else. What happened was that Mordechai and Haman were generals for Ahasuerus in a war. And what happened was, this is very famous, they went to war once and Haman let his soldiers party and Mordechai was much more careful watching all the food and Haman ran out of food and he came to Mordechai begging because the soldiers were going to kill him. So Mordechai said, fine, I'll give you food, but on condition, he says, only if you sell yourself to me to become my slave.
So they wrote on the bottom of the shoe, you know, that Haman's a slave, and Mordechai kept the shoe, and every time Haman would pass by, Mordechai, instead of bowing down, would pick up a shoe to show, you're my slave, why should I bow down to you? And the problem is that when someone's a slave, all your possessions belong to your master. So he says, everything they have is worthless, all belongs to Mordechai. Okay. I think that Chazal are telling us that for whatever reason, there was something personal going on, all right? And it could be because of what? Haman's approach to Jewish people in general. But Mordechai decided that the way Haman acts, his whole attitude, his ego, I'm not going to get away with it, all right? So, in that respect, we know the Yeshua happened, the salvation happened, but at that moment, there's no question that you could have questioned why Mordechai did what he did, and obviously HaKadosh Baruch Hu showed us that Mordechai took the right approach, because this attitude he had, like he was above everyone else, was not proper. I want to finish off with one interpretation that I believe I saw, but a very modern Sefer. I think it's actually a very nice shot, which I think is very important for us to keep in mind. It's called The Dawn by Yoram Chazoni. I'm going to finish with that last shot. And he says like this, why did Mordechai not bow down to Haman? And he said he's a Jew. Mordechai did not bow down to Haman for one very simple reason. How did the people in the king's court know that Ahasuerus said, everyone should bow down to Haman? You know, there's a word in the Megillah that says, Shivas, the seven Sarisim, Roe Pnei HaMelech, who saw the face of the king. What does it mean they saw the face of the king? The custom in Persia was that the king did not see most people. When the king made a party, he wasn't sitting there like a Hasidic Rebbe at a tish, you know, 700 people around him. There was a party going on. And where was the king? He was, you know, somewhere else. There were certain select individuals who saw him. And that's why it says, Roe Pnei HaMelech. In general, by the way, coming back to the comic books, most comic books don't imply that. However, I did see recently, I mean, it's all about where you see a party and a Ahasuerus behind the curtain. That's shot in the pasuk, grow up in the melech. So how would they know? So only those people who saw the king would go ahead and hear from the king. So if you translate it literally, if you go back to source number one, the pasuk bet, the chol avdei hamelech hashir b'shar hamelech, as opposed to saying Kain Siva Alav, which it should have said, Kain Siva Lo, the king commanded Haman. The king said, commanded Haman, come down. The king gave me a command, everyone should bow down to me. Now, if you're an intelligent person, you would say, the king commanded everyone should bow down to you? Doesn't make sense. It seems to me this Haman made stuff in his mind. But an intelligent person would say, well, I'm not going to start up with Haman because if I question Haman, what's Haman going to do to me? He's going to kill me. I'm not going to ask the king because I can't get into the king. And even those people who could ask the king, the first pasuk says that Haman was hired than anybody else to be in trouble. So Mordechai HaTzadik, who was a Yehudi, and a Jew you have to know, has always been loyal to the government. The government where the Jews have been able to live, even with difficulty sometimes, have always been loyal. He said, there's no way I'm bowing out to Haman. Because I'm a Jew. And I'm loyal. And Haman is up to no good. And therefore, the servants of the king wanted to see, well, what was Mordechai going to do? Because for them it was very important also, because they didn't like Haman also. And they also thought that Haman made this up. And they wanted to see Yamdu Divrei Mordechai. And that's why Haman got so upset. Because Haman went ahead and said, Mordechai could blow all my plans. And therefore he said, I can't just go after Mordechai. If all the Jews are like this, loyal to the king, I have a very serious problem. Now we know in the previous chapter, Mordechai was very loyal to the king because he revealed the plot of Bigson and Zeresh. So it's fascinating that one of the ideas you hear is that here you have a Jew who's committed to Jewish people, identifies as Jewish people, Mordechai Yehudi, but he's still loyal to the government. So these are, and he's loyal to the government, and he stands for the ideals that he believes in, and he won't buckle. A Jew has to stand for ideals they believe in. It's Torah ideals, being loyal to the government. The Nevi'im tell the Jews, you got to daven for the peace of the kingdom where you're in, and I'm going to stand for the ideals. So just to summarize, what's the reason why Mordechai did not bow down? First reason was, he felt, how could he bow down to an idol? Avodah Zarah, Kiddush Hashem. He says, even though maybe he could have found a heter, but it's not just important to go ahead and to think like a Jew, you got to act like a Jew. That's idea number one. Idea number two was that Mordechai did not bow down to Haman because Mordechai basically said, I'm a Jew, and a Jew has to stand up for the glory of a Jew. And there's nothing as important as standing up for the glory of a Jew. I just want to, just to add on to that point, you know, Yaakov Avinu was very upset at Shimon and Levi. Because Shimon and Levi went ahead and they destroyed the whole city of Shechem. So what happened? He gave them a little mussar, they responded, and we hear nothing about it. Until right before Yaakov Avinu's death in Parshas Vayechi, and Parshas Vayechi, he says, what does he say? He said, he basically says that he's going to scatter them amongst Klal Yisrael. Shimon is going to go ahead and teach the Jewish children Torah. Levi is going to be the leader who goes around collecting and inspiring people. I don't understand. You went ahead and you ripped into them. You gave them mussar for what they did to Shechem, the violence. And now you want them to lead the next generation? So Yaakov Kamenevsky says that Yaakov Avinu said their approach was wrong, but the goal was correct. Because they said no one treats a Jewish girl like that. They had Jewish pride. So I have to somehow deal with their approach. But the goal, how important Jewish pride is, that's awesome. They're going to teach the next generation because Jewish pride is very important. So that's what Mordechai said. I'm going to stand up to be a Jew. I'm not going to bow down to Haman and think that I'm a lowly nation. I'm going to show the Jews are important. We have to rob them. We have to be proud that we're a Jew. The third shot is the idea that sometimes Mordechai felt that Haman, he put in this place, the way he was treating people. He thought he was such a great person. Because sometimes you can't let someone abuse other people. Probably all the time. Okay, and the last idea is that whenever you're living in a government, the Jewish people have known to be loyal to the government. And by the way, that applies in America, that even applied in Russia, that applies in Europe, and it certainly applies in Medinas Yisrael. Everyone should have a wonderful Purim.